Welcome back to another episode of 5 Minutes in Church History. Last week, we were looking at three Bible firsts. And the first of those firsts was the Bible published by John Eliot, a Bible in the Algonquin language. It's important to go back and catch this story of John Eliot, the Apostle to the Indians. He was born in 1604 in England. As a young man, he was sent off to Jesus College at Cambridge University and was educated there. Jesus College had quite a significant alumnus. Thomas Cranmer had just recently graduated from there. And John Eliot did very well, and while he was there, he came to know Thomas Hooker. In fact, he worked with Thomas Hooker as an assistant and an instructor in a school. And in the late 1620s and right at the early 1630s, as the pressure was turned up on these of a Puritan mindset there in England, Thomas Hooker left England and went to Holland, and John Eliot boarded a ship on November 3rd, 1631, and set sail for the New World. He actually served as a chaplain upon that ship. When he arrived in the New World, he was installed as a minister in Roxbury, Massachusetts. He participated in the trial of Anne Hutchinson. He was involved in a number of publishing efforts. He was one of those Puritan ministers that was involved in the printing of the Bay Psalter, the Bay Psalm book, which was the first book printed in the United States. He began to be convicted of the need to preach the gospel to the Native Americans, and he poured great efforts towards Native American missions. In 1646, he preached his first sermon to the Indians. He worked for the next several years on learning the language and trying to translate portions of Scripture. He translated the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and numerous texts from the Gospels and other sermons. And then right around the late 1650s and 1660s, he turned his energy towards translating the Bible into the Algonquin language. And in 1663, 1,000 copies of the Bible in Algonquin came off the printing press. He was also a church planter. In fact, through the course of his years, he planted about 14 churches. In 1670, he wrote up what he called a brief narrative of the progress of the gospel, an account of the missionary work among these Indians. The Puritans called these Indians who converted to Christianity praying Indians. And when they would gather together and form a church, they would actually call these places praying towns. And John Eliot was planter of 14 of these praying towns. He writes this up in his brief narrative, and at one point he says that also the teacher of the praying Indians of Nantucket with a brother of his were received here, who made good confessions of Jesus Christ, and being asked, did make report unto us that there be about 90 families who pray unto God in that island. So effectual is the light of the gospel among them. John Eliot saw this effectual light of the gospel again and again across these towns in Massachusetts. At one point, he was challenged why he did not have English pastors of these churches and why he was so bent on having Indians be the teaching elders and ruling elders of these churches. And at one point, he takes up a defense, really, of this move of his. And so he says of the difficulties it would be to have English ministers to come in. For one, it's hard for these Native Americans to support them. And John Eliot says that a minister is a man with a body. And as a man with a body, he needs to be supported. And so it's difficult financially to support these ministers. It's also difficult because of the language barriers. And so Eliot set about to teach teachers of the Indians. In fact, at one point in the narrative, he says, "And while I live, my purpose is, by the grace of Christ assisting, to make it one of my chief cares and labors to teach teachers." John Eliot, the Apostle to the Indians. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 Minutes in Church History. Well, as we finish today's episode, here's a quote from Francis Schaeffer. He said, "Christian faith means bowing twice. Firstly, to acknowledge that he is a creature before the infinite personal creator who is there. Secondly, to acknowledge that he has sinned, and therefore that he has true guilt before the God who is there."